Greetings to all of you, too, on this New Year's Day. I have to shift gears here a little bit. I don't think I have time for my message, so I'm going to give some introductory thoughts about it. Obviously, as you see, I like maps. I've liked maps all of my life about. I always wanted to know kind of where I was and where things were around me. And I ran into other young boys, my friends, and sometimes in a casual conversation, they didn't have a clue where Nevada was or where Colorado would have been or even which way the Mississippi River flowed probably. But I think that advantageous to understand the global or the world. So I'm not going to talk about Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, or the United States, but I'd like to test your knowledge. Children, I'm going to invite you to come up here one by one. That can from 8 years on up or 10 or whatever and tell me where some of these countries are. I'll tell the name of them and then you have to come up and point to where that country is. So I'm going to do some of that. If some of you sisters want to move this way or even I don't care if you come over and sit with your husbands so that you can see it a little better. But, this is a map of the Middle East. Why is the Middle East of any importance in our day?
Oil.
Yes. That is very true. That has become a major thing in our time. The discovery of oil that flows like water out of an ocean that has been seemingly a limitless supply. Who is one of the major nations that export oil? What's one of the biggest ones? Saudi Arabia. Okay, children, who's going to come up and point out on the map Saudi Arabia? Okay, come. Just point to it. I want to know how well you know this. Saudi Arabia, that's a big country, isn't it? Okay, thank you. That's Saudi Arabia, and there are many others then. Yemen and Oman and United Arab Emirates and Kuwait and Iraq and Iran and many others. All right, will someone come up and find the nation of Israel? You want to find the nation of Israel for me?
It would be, let's see, this is Saudi Arabia. So it would be down this way. It's not on this map.
Oh, yeah, it's there. All right, we'll let you take your seat and we'll let somebody else do that, okay? Since you can't find it. It's very small, I know that.
Well, it would be, it's, I think there.
Yep, that's right. Okay. All right, we have a brother here who spent many years of his growing up years in a country called Somalia. Who knows where to point out of your children where Somalia is? You find Somalia? Brother Galen was born and raised, not born, right, but raised in the land of Somalia, and he talks often to us in conversation about it. Can you children come up and point to the land of Somalia? All right. That's right. All right. That's where Galen's parents were missionaries and spent many years down there. All right. Thank you. That's Somalia. Okay. Can someone find the land of Iraq? Many interesting things or many historical things have happened here in the last 20 years in the country of Iraq with wars and all kinds of things. Can some of you children, you know where Iraq is? Come up and point to it. All right, that is Iraq, that's right. Let's see, I think major happening there a day ago or so, two suicide bombers went off in the city of Baghdad, I believe, killed a whole bunch of people and injured many more. Thank you. All right, can someone find the country of Turkey? Country of Turkey is very important in our days. All right. That's right. That's the country of Turkey. All right. Can someone else find the country of Russia? There's not much of it on, but a little bit of Russia. Not usually thought of as being a Middle Eastern country, but this map is big enough that it has that country on. Someone know where Russia is on the map? Boys or girls? Do you know? Okay. Someone else? Where is... Okay, you come again. Here's my little map boy, right? Way up there. That's right. There's the country of... one of the Kravitz children should surely know where the country of the Ukraine is. Okay, thank you. Do you want to find the country of the Ukraine? Just a little bit of it on there. That's right. That's where the Kravitz has come from. So, we have a very interesting Middle Eastern map here. I'll just point out some of the others since they are mentioned in the Bible. One is Ethiopia. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in the Bible? Well, that is the country of Ethiopia. It is predominantly, what's the percentage Muslim there? Very high. 40%, not half. And there's some Christians there, right, also. So that's a mixed group there. Here we have Sudan. Now, Sudan would be, at least in the southern part, much higher Muslim, right? And when the Bible speaks of Ethiopia, there are times when it is speaking the area of Sudan and Ethiopia. Here we have the country of Egypt. You all remember Egypt when Israel, you've heard the stories where Israel was there for about 400 years, and then they escaped across the Red Sea over here and got into the land of Israel. They wandered around in this wilderness for 40 years and finally went into Israel. All right, let me see if I have any others. Some of these others you might really learn a little bit about today, and that is Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran. This is the big country of Iran, which is very, very strong against the United States. They chant, away with America, kill America. What's the phrase they use? There's another phrase they use a lot. Death to America, yeah. The people here get up in the streets and say, death to America, death to America. So they would really like to destroy our country here in America. Whether they will ever accomplish anything or not in that area, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell whether they... But it just shows that they hate us. And they hate Israel. Very strong hatred against the nation of Israel. Israel is a hot spot. of the world today, that little country about the size of New Jersey, is called Israel. And the Bible says it'll be a cup of trembling in the last days. The whole world will think about that nation. And in fact, we're going to find out in the few scriptures that we'll read that the whole world will someday gather in an innumerable company of soldiers and people to try to wipe Israel off the map. In Lebanon, we have a group called Hezbollah. They are Arabic people, Arabs we would call them, and they often chant also, we want to push Israel into the Mediterranean. Also down in the Gaza Strip, which is a little point here called Gaza, there's a group called Hamas. They're also an Arab group, and they also would love to push the Jewish people into the Mediterranean. They have sent thousands of rockets into Israel just to harass them. But Israel has an iron dome of protection around it that they have developed by their own ability and their own wisdom that God gives. Israel is very, very advanced in technology and in science and in agriculture, in water purification, in medicine. They have introduced many of the modern methods of medicine that is even used here in the United States. They're very advanced there, but these other people just constantly harass them and make war against them. I have lived through 2 years after I was born, 2 years after I was born, is when Israel became a nation. They were scattered in other parts of the world, and they finally sought their own homeland and came established them as a nation. But then, again, in 1967, the Arab nations all around them united together and tried to make war with them and, again, push them into the Mediterranean, wanting to annihilate them, claiming that they have the land. Some of the reason for this is because they do not recognize the historical ownership of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. They don't believe the Bible, and so the Bible is what gives us a 3,000 or more 4,000 year history from Abraham on. Of course, they believe Abraham is their father, the Arabs also, because through Ishmael he actually is. They are descendants, but they do not believe the Bible in that the land was promised to them, to the Jewish people. So they think they own it because they had it for a long time. Over 1,000 years that the Arabs had pretty much freedom in the land of Israel there. It was called Palestine in some of those years. And so they think they own it. And it belongs to them. So I just want to give you a few beginning verses here. I would like to at some time here to preach a message on Ezekiel 38 and 39. These two chapters seem to speak very pertinent to our day. In Ezekiel 37, we have the Valley of Dry Bones, and that depicts Israel as a whole bunch of bones lying around the through the land that are very, very dry. And there's no life in them, but they're there. They're still there. And then we have a prophecy by God to the voice of God through Ezekiel that he's to prophesy to those bones and that those bones should come together. And so there was a great shaking and a noise, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And then finally there was next that sinews came up on flesh came upon the bones, and they stood up, and then but they were still very, very dry and dead, And then finally we have a prophecy of the breath of God breathing into those bones and prophesying that they shall live. And they lived. Actually, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, thou knowest. He looked at the whole situation and thought it pretty impossible. But he did say, God knoweth. And then he was told to prophesy these. Now, in the beginning of chapter 38, so we have the bones coming together in the chapter before this, and then we have a prophecy where that happened. Now, may I say that as I understand, because Israel was dispersed through all the nations of the world, and many more that are not on this map, in AD 70, which is 2,000 years ago. And they were not a nation from that time until 1948. So for a long time, they were not a nation, but God brought them together. And let me see if I have that scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, I believe it is. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left. Someone want to tell me when the first time was that God brought a remnant of Israel back to their homeland after they were dispersed because of idolatry? Who was that under? When did God bring the first remnant back to Israel? Ezra and Nehemiah, yes. That's when they had been dispersed in captivity in Babylon. Northern Israel was in captivity in Assyria, and the southern Judah was in captivity in Babylon, and then God brought a remnant back. Now, there it was primarily out of Babylon, out of Judah that came back, but here is a prophecy that at some time in the future they will be dispersed again. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus was here. They had their homeland. They had come back from Babylon for hundreds of years and were dwelling there again, had raised up a nation of which we very familiar with in the four Gospels. But then in AD 70, just about 30 years after Christ died, there was a major dispersal again. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jews were chased out and killed by the tens and hundreds of thousands, and then they dispersed in all countries of the world. And here in Isaiah 11 is a prophecy how that they will again come to recover the remnant of the people which shall be left. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, and from Elam, and Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Now, I think Cush is down in Sudan here, or considered this southern area. And then, of course, they come back from Assyria, they come back from the islands of the sea and wherever they were dispersed. All right, and then in Ezekiel 38, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Now, I'd like to clear one thing up here in just the introduction here, and that is, where is Gog and Magog? Where is Gog and Magog? When I grew up, all of my growing up years, I was taught primarily that that is the north country of is Russia. But I'd like to show you something on the map here. That's why I put the world map here. I tried hard to get one that showed the North Pole, but it didn't have one. We do have the zero longitude line, which goes down through here from the North Pole to the South Pole. And so we have 0 degrees longitude is right up here. So I would perceive that the North Pole would probably be up here where my finger is, somewhere around here. Well, if you draw a straight line, I should have had a black line maybe that could be seen. If you draw a straight line from the North Pole to Israel, you see that that does not go to Russia. That does not go to Russia. In fact, it's interesting for the sake of the lesson, it goes directly through Ankara, Turkey. So what was taught us through the years that that big bear of Russia, the country in the north, is going to come down against Israel in the latter days, doesn't seem to be accurate. And prophecy teachers in the recent years have thought that thing through and have said, well, north is not this direction to Moscow, which is here, but rather it's in another direction and runs right through the country of Turkey. Right through the country of Turkey. Now, if we go back to the other map, you will notice that Turkey is, if we find Ankara here, that is directly north of Jerusalem. This is north, going up this way and escapes the country of Russia. So now the thought is that no, it can't be Russia, because it's the country of the north and the north quarters. Now, it is interesting in Ezekiel 28:38 that we still have this land, we still have this word Gog in the land of Magog. Now, there's a couple things that bear upon this, and one is, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, all of the seven churches of Asia are located in Turkey. Not in Russia, not in one of these other countries, but in Turkey. So Turkey, the prophecies that were made concerning the seven churches of Asia, even as I preached some weeks ago concerning, which one now, of the churches, Pergamon, Pergamus or Pergamon, where Satan's seat is, it says, or where Satan dwelleth. And so we know that to be in Turkey. Now, so also mentions, but as I understand the interpretation of Gog and Magog, these cities, these areas are still today in Turkey. Gog is in Turkey, Magog, the land of Magog, and also Meshech and Tubal, both of those are areas or cities of Turkey to this day. Now, we also have here, Persia. Where is Persia? Well, Persia is Iran. This here was the country of Persia, and we know that because we have the Medes and the Persians overcome Babylon. Babylon was in Iraq. And so they came in and took over Babylon when Daniel and his three friends were there in captivity. First, it was the Babylonian kingdom, which was Iraq, and they were kind of world rulers of this whole area. Nebuchadnezzar was. But then when he fell, then Persia took over, and that is present-day Iran. That is Persia. Ethiopia, we have mentioned. Okay, we had picked out where Ethiopia was, way down here at the bottom, and we have included in the biblical Ethiopia, I think, included a large section of Sudan, what is known as Sudan. This whole country down here was considered Ethiopia. Then we have the word Libya. Well, Libya still exists today and is all the way over here. In right here is Libya. So there we have the country of Libya, and then we have Gomer, and Gomer is usually considered more up into the European area. So we have Gomer. Let me see if we have any others. Gomer and all his bands and the house of Togarma and the north quarters and all his bands and many people with thee. Now what has happened in the recent years, and it's beginning to happen more and more, is that there is a unity of sorts that is taking place in the Islamic nations. Right now they're divided into two camps, the Sunnis and the Shiites. The Shiites are in Iran. This is where they're considered the Shiites, all the way across here. Iraq has both, and Syria, I think, is Shiite, and Lebanon, likewise, quite a bit. But this is often considered all these are basically Arab nations. Libya, the Sudan, Egypt is a mixture, Saudi Arabia, Oman, Yemen, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Iraq, Syria, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, all of these are Arab nations. Azerbaijan, Georgia, and southern Russia here, there are a lot of Turkey, it's predominantly Muslim, and a good portion, somebody know the percentage of Muslim in India. They are strong Hindu, Muslim, and of course Christian is less than around 1%. So India is primarily Hindu and Muslim, and I can't say the difference. Hindu is higher than Muslim, is my opinion there. But you go to Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, they're all predominantly Muslim. Now, one other thing that has been interesting through the years of prophecy, and there's a shift that has taken place, is that China was thought to be the kings of the East, and that the River Euphrates, the Bible says, would be dried up, and to make a way for the kings of the East to come and help in this great battle that is going to be fought against Israel. But as you notice, this is East. And so there's a great question whether China is even involved in this battle, but rather Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and so forth. Just to give you that, I would propose to you at least that I think you will see that with all the things that are happening in the Middle East, that things are really gelling down or condensing down to have a Turkish involvement majorly in Iran and so forth. Syria is prophesied to be destroyed. That is clearly, it's supposed to be a place where shepherds would just keep their flocks, and the cities of Syria will be destroyed. It's prophesied against Damascus, prophesied against the country of Syria. Well, I don't know how many of you have seen the pictures of Aleppo or various other cities in Syria which Aleppo was a large city, and you have an aerial view that they gave on the internet which showed the destruction of Aleppo, and it looks like a total bombed out Second World War type city in Germany that was extensively bombed like Berlin or others. And it is basically without an inhabitant. There were a few people left here last week, and they evacuated the last thousands of them by buses, pretty much, and took them away. And what we're seeing, there's still some occupied areas, and there's still a government in charge, but there are four different factions warring against it. You hardly know who's who and who's fighting who and what, who wants what. Russia has come down. They are involved. Turkey is involved. There would be Iran, I think, is involved there some with their groups. But anyway, Syria is just being decimated, just desolate. And there are prophecies that show that very much. So I think I'll leave it at that. Here this morning, there's just so much going on. As we enter the new year, we wonder, what is going to happen next? If I look back just the last 2 years and what has happened to Syria, what has happened in Turkey, now these men, all these nations that I mentioned here, are all basically looking for a Messiah opposite of our Messiah. They're looking for a man called Mahdi, or like we think it's the Antichrist, but they look at it as their Christ. And whether Sunni or Shiites, they all believe in a Mahdi, that some powerful man will arise in their religion and unite them all together. And of course, that is when they expect to... Many things I could mention that they are expecting there, but right now there's a certain amount of unity, but there's also quite a bit of division between Turkey and Saudi Arabia and different others in Saudi Arabia. And Iran has tried to overtake Iraq different times in history and has never accomplished that, but yet seems to be making some progress in that way. But they expect the Messiah to come, which is their Mahdi, that will unite the entire Arab nations and so unite them. So when there is a prophecy given in Ezekiel 38 that mentions Ethiopia, Libya, mentions Syria. In fact, the Antichrist in the Bible is even called the Assyrian in one place. And then, of course, we have this Gog and Magog and Togarma and all these different cities that are, or areas that are spoken of in Turkey. So we believe this is probably the country of the north. That would be my suggestion. That this may be the country of the north, since the line from Israel going to the North Pole goes right through in this area of the capital, Ankara, of Turkey. And rather than it being Russia, the city, the country of the north, we're probably speaking of one much closer. This country has a million man army. Their leader, Erdogan, is sometimes referred to as a god in their religion. They were more of a democracy or of a kind of a secular country, but it is vastly and quickly changing to Sharia law, Islamic control, and this used to be the ancient Ottoman Empire, and the Bible speaks about this Antichrist that has had a deadly wound that was healed, or this evil nation, and the wound was healed, and so the Ottoman Empire fell there in about 1926, and became more of a common nation. And now is going back toward the Ottoman Empire of Islamic religion and Islamic control. All right, any questions anyone has or anyone wants to make a point here concerning this Mideastern map.
You only have a few groups, but there's like four of them. Saudi Arabia is the Wasabi. A lot of them are Wasabi, and they're the worst ones.
Right.
The strictest ones, and they're more radicalized.
Right. Right.
I don't know where the ISIS comes from, but they said the ISIS were trying to overrun all them countries before they were not. Because right. They proved they were Kurds. They're in Iraq too.
Yeah, northern Iraq is the Kurds. Huh? Kyrgyzstan is up in here. Right.
The Kurds were aided by Saddam Hussein. He tried to use chemical weapons.
Right. Anyone else have anything to share there? Yes.
I guess just historically, it's interesting you brought up when Israel was brought back in to position as an Israeli nation.
Right.
During World War II, I think when it became very obvious that a Holocaust against the Jewish people had been taking place, and I don't know how many folks were even aware of that. In the early 1940s, it seemed like it wasn't until some American soldiers actually started stumbling across these death camps that they had a full understanding that Germany was truly trying to kill all Jews.
That's right.
Germany.
Right.
And others as well. And I believe as Eisenhower, along with some of the others, once World War II was won by the Allies against the Axis countries, that Israel came into being as part of acknowledgement that the people of Israel need a place to gather.
Yes.
And they chose to give them back the land they originally had.
Yeah, it was primarily due to the Balfour Declaration that came, was orchestrated primarily by Britain. But the U.S. agreed to it. Likewise, and home, and those shiploads of Jews that were left that Hitler had not killed came down and became settled in the land of Israel, began to trickle in. Then the Arabs got upset, wanted to annihilate him, not let it happen. A war broke out there in 1948, and they won their homeland and the right to be through miracles. I could give you many miracles that happened that allowed that. They were outnumbered 10-1, and yet God helped them to be established. And then they became a nation. They did not have the city of Jerusalem yet. They only got that in 1967. And but now, just in closing, I just may mention that something very drastic has taken place last week in that Barack Obama has made a move that the land must be divided. Palestine gets part of it. Israel needs to back away, and they are even indicating that they should give up Jerusalem because they took it in the war in 67. The pressure is on the Jewish people and Netanyahu, the prime minister there, that they need to give Jerusalem back to the Arabs. Well, this is totally against prophecy and against the whole fulfillment through the years of them finally getting their homeland again. But in about 3 weeks, I think, there's a very, very significant meeting to take place in the land of France, where 70 nations from the United Nations are planning to meet. And the main purpose for meeting is to determine the future of Israel. And I can predict very easily, I think, the meeting will not be good. Because they have all rejected Israel to start with, all of the 70, and including Obama, has revealed himself in the last month very much to that end. The only little hope there is in that is that Donald Trump, who has been voted in as coming in president, he does not agree with that. And he did not agree with the resolution made in the United Nations 10 days ago. And so therefore, we have some very, very prophetic and interesting things that are going to take place here in the month of January. So keep your eyes and ears open as to what all may transpire there. But what is happening is that the nations are agreeing to go against Israel, and that they do not belong there, and that they should, I don't know where they plan to think they should go, but they want them to give their settlements back to the Arab people. But God says that will not happen, not saying there won't be some negotiating on little pieces or bits, but in general, that will not happen. And then finally, the whole Arab world and all those mentioned will come against Jerusalem to battle, and the Lord will finally come out of heaven and deal with the situation himself. All right, we'll go into those chapters later on. So,
thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at EphrataMinistries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.